This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's D-I-A-G-E-O BarAcademy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bento Box, a full-service marketing and commerce platform that helps restaurants get discovered, make more money, and engage their diners. Join over 8,000 restaurants already using Bento Box today to deliver better hospitality. Visit getbento.com/HRN today to get your first month free. That's getbento.com/HRN.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Guys.
We're back in the virtual studio once again.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's cool, though? Something that didn't happen virtually. Last week, we had the very, very...
loquacious?
Yes. Philip Duff in the studio. And last night, I got to actually have dinner with him in person, not remotely. At a great place in Marin County called the Buckeye Roadhouse. And it was awesome hanging out with Philip and Elaine and just chatting away. They got to meet my fiance, Jamie. We had a great meal, some cocktails, and just general revelry. They're here in town for the San Francisco Spirits competition and their judges. And it was great. They got to break away and we got to have a nice time. And yeah, it's just one of those things. It's one step closer to a normal, social.
A normal behavior, reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's right. It's weird when you do that and you're just like, it always used to be? And we used to just do this and it was just normal and we didn't think about it. And we weren't like, whoa, you're like, I can reach out and touch you if I want to. And that wasn't like a strange experience.
Man. Right, it wasn't news to have dinner with a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
At a restaurant.
Didn't have to use the like speakeasy breaking news banner every time we saw one of our guests in person.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. It was good for me personally because I've known them for so long, but it also just really felt like it wasn't just like getting to see like a local friend, someone from the other side of the country that was here mm-hmm. visiting and actually just casually getting together. And they had taken an Uber and they're like, they didn't require us to wear masks, and like wow. They were just like, this is really weird. It's funny.
Yeah, that hasn't been dropped in New York yet. I don't know how long you dropped it in California. Yeah. But still, if you're on the public transportation or in an Uber or a cab, it's still required.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like the real point is that it was great to not only get to hang out with them, but was so soon after having Philip
right.
on the show, it's like almost like I was still living in New York in a way.
Did he bring you some Roberta's?
He did not. That's next time.
That would be icing on the cake. Well, you get those things frozen now. You can get
your
frozen Roberta's pizza.
Yeah.
And they're good. A friend of mine had my best friend Todd had one. It was great.
Nice.
Greg, you did some traveling yourself though.
I sure did, man. I went to Cleveland, Ohio. This was
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, man. Well, this was take two for me of trying to hit some bars in Cleveland, because I was there for less than 24 hours last summer. And Souther, I know you and Damon are both big, big fans of the bar scene in Cleveland. So I was like,
yeah.
super stoked yeah. to try it. I had like a long, it was like nine places long. I was like, well, how am I ever going to get to all of these cocktail bars and all of these delicious places? Like, there's no way, man, how am I ever going to winnow this list down? And I remember very distinctly like passing over into like Cleveland official, like you can see the skyline, and the guy in the back seat of the car that I was road tripping with looks and just goes, hey Greg, you know every single place on this list that you have is closed on Sundays, right?
Oh man.
Like, I didn't know that was apparently that's like a big Cleveland yeah. thing, is that places just aren't open on Sundays, which I
even pre-pandemic, that's true actually.
Yeah. And that's what we were trying to figure out. We were like, is this like, we did go to one spot. We went to the Spotted Owl and they treated us like yeah. absolute royalty. Those guys are badasses yeah, through and through. But yeah. we asked them, we're like, is this like a pandemic thing or is it like a blue law thing? And one of them was like, nah, that's just Ohio, man. That's just how this state rolls. But I went back on a Friday this time and checked out our good friend Stefan Wass at Porco Lounge. And then also went to a Viking heavy metal bar that came highly recommended called LBM.
LBM.
Also fucking badass. So great time, great cocktails, great vibe. Got to hang out with Stefan a little bit. And
such a sweetheart, that guy.
Oh, such a sweet dude. Yeah, showed me around a new project that he's working on. And since it was kind of like an old renovation, and this is a few shots of Fernet in, as is the Porco Lounge way. Yes, I found this old like Pepsi can that looked like it was from the 1970s. And I was just like, whoa. I was like, this is cool. Can I keep this? He was like, sure. So I just, you know, stuck it in my jacket pocket. The next day, I'm like running out to coffee a little worse for the wear, and I'm putting on my same jacket, and I was like, what the heck is this weird blob that's in here? And it took me a second in the elevator of staring at it. It's like, why do I have this?
Did I travel through time and sleep? Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me, honestly. If you'd have told me that's how my Friday night ended up, I'd have been like, that, you know, it seems within the realm of possibility.
Well, that's amazing. And yeah, the project you looked at is a project that Stefan and I have been tinkering around with since well before the pandemic. Of course, the pandemic put it on ice, but things are back in motion again. So hopefully I'll be doing some things in Cleveland with Stefan and the Porco team.
Do it, man. I'll come out and visit you on a Friday, not a Sunday this time.
Listen, man, they take their Sundays pretty, you know, sacred. It's time off for industry. I think it's not the worst idea.
No, I totally get it. I was just really thrown. I was thrown for a loop, and I felt silly because I was in charge of looking up spots for Cleveland and Cincinnati. We were in Cincinnati the next day, and I, you know, because it was a Monday, I was fastidious about making sure all the spots we wanted to go on, you know, when we were in Cincy were open. But for Cleveland, I was just like, it's the weekend. Just, you know, throw darts at the board. You can't miss. But I don't know. Life moves at a slower pace out there, I suppose.
Well, speaking of slower paces.
Oh, yes.
Let's get on island time.
Let's do it, man.
Who's in the virtual studio with us today, Greg?
Alejandro Russo is in the virtual studio with us from Candela Mama Juana. Alejandro, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Hey, fella. So happy to be here virtually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy to have you here virtually, man.
Yeah, next time we gotta meet in the DR, right? You said it, island time, and we have to meet and do this interview down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so about 12, 13 years ago, my friend Adam Kolesar, we call him Tiki Adam in the biz, he's a big tiki and rum enthusiast, and I was over at his house. You guys, Southern Teak and Greg Benson, you guys have been over to his place, right?
Yeah. Seen the Airstream.
With the Airstream bar. Yeah, it's like the coolest home bar ever. Anyway, we're hanging out there, and his friend John, they're talking about Mama Juana. I'm like, what the hell is that? And so he had a small bottle that he gave to me, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, what is this? So I had to start doing some research. There's some, you know, back then there wasn't a lot of information you could find on the internet too much about it, but I went on a quest, and first thing I found was an empty bottle, basically empty of liquid, but it had some tree bark and some herbs and botanicals in it. And you're supposed to fill it up with your own rum and I think wine and honey and things like that. So it's cool to me to see that in my lifetime, this has gotten to a point where there's actually a bottle of it ready to drink. So Tell us about Mama Juana for like those who don't know what it is, which I am assuming is most.
Oh, yeah, I would say most people.
Most. And believe me, I was one of them.
Yeah.
I had no clue what Mama Juana was when I found it. And it changed my life, literally. I mean, that's what I do for a living. But I had never even heard of it before. And it was just part of a great experience that I had in the Dominican Republic. You know, the Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, these are places that are visited by millions of people every year. They're beautiful. They're very popular places. And Punta Cana, people would say that the official drink of Punta Cana is Mama Juana. But I had never heard of it until I actually went there and tried it myself. So I was so blown away by my experience that I felt like, you know what, everybody needs to know about this. And to somebody who's never even heard the word like me, what Mama Juana is, It's just the Dominican Republic's native drink. That's the first thing that I tell everybody. What is it? It's the DR, the native drink that they make. It's called Mama Juana. And it's an all-natural spiced rum, if you will. It's usually rum is the base, and it's infused with all these tree barks and sticks and spices, and which collectively are known as the Mama Juana spices. Some recipes add wine to it. Some recipes add honey to it. As we spoke earlier, there's no standardized recipe of how you make it. Every family makes their own. And, you know, people, everybody says that their grandma makes the best Mama Juana, yeah, right?
It's like Rezal Hanout or like Amaro. There's no like real like standardized recipe for it. It's
just, exactly. You know,
it's, yeah.
Sure. Or even, exactly. Even to stay within the category, I think it's right in line with like Sorrel from the Caribbean, yes, as well, right?
It's very similar. And you know what? I feel like every island in the Caribbean has their own version of Mama Juana. Because originally Mama Juana was actually attributed to the Taino people. You know, they were the natives that they inhabited all of the Caribbean, all the way from, you know, the north of Colombia to even as high up as South Florida and everything in between. So the natives of the Dominican Republic, of Puerto Rico, Cuba, these were the Taino people, and Mama Juana is a very Taino thing. So any island of the Caribbean, they'll have their own variation. Some places will put, you know, wine, others won't. Some will put a few more sticks than others or different types of ingredients. But overall, it's a pretty similar thing.
Right. And the Tainos were definitely using this as sort of medicine, right? This was a cure-all or an elixir. Again, yes, sort of like collective subconscious all over the world, we were doing this. We all started by mixing these herbs and barks that we chewed on maybe into water and making a tea. And then when we learned how to ferment, we added them to wine so they have better shelf stability. Then when we learned how to distill, we added them to distillate so they could even have greater shelf stability so we could travel further from, you know, home base and see the world or whatever. So, right.
Exactly.
This was medicine.
This started as medicine, and my hope is, just like Coca-Cola, it started as medicine, but it becomes popular enough so that people enjoy it without being sick, right?
I like this because it tastes like this version, the one that that Adam and John gave me, that, of course, they homemade. They went with, like, crazy overproof rum, as one does.
Yeah.
So, you know, it had a lot more spice to it. This one, I don't do caffeine, so I don't drink like Coca-Cola, but what I do drink is root beer and sarsaparilla. And this one has like a birch beer sarsaparilla kind of vibe to it, which I'm a huge fan of already.
You've already cracked into yours?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm
quite mine open then.
Yeah, get into it,
man. Thanks. I'm glad you like it. And yeah, that's what it is. And some people go like full medicinal on their Mama Juana. They use overproof rum. They let it soak for months, and it's literally this syrup that you drink, and you know it has all these supposed health benefits. Other people just drink it for the fun.
Doesn't it also have? Don't they call it like liquid Viagra?
I can tell where you're going. Oh yeah,
I can tell with all the like. So how do I phrase this?
The childish giggling.
Exactly.
Okay.
But is it though?
Yes. So to answer your question, and you can see on our bottle, we can't confirm nor deny any of the rumors about Mama Juana.
Right.
That's the official answer that we give as a brand.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a story. It was pretty funny how I discovered this in the DR. So I found this. I'm not even Dominican. So I'm from Chile. I'm a Chilean guy that was visiting the DR as a tourist. Okay. So I was in Punta Cana having fun. I was in the swim-up bar at the resort that I was staying. And I don't know. Candela was, I'd say, a drunken epiphany after a wild day in the DR. Because we were all having fun. I was part of this big group of friends that we had made at the swim-up bar. And they were all drinking shots of this stuff. And I said, okay, what is this? And they gave me a shot. And I'm not usually like a shots kind of guy. I always like to drink stuff neat or in cocktails. But I had a shot of this and it blew me away. I never tasted anything like that. I really liked it. And then, you know, as the, you know, shot after shot, the day got pretty wild. I'm not able to share the entire story.
You had to wrap that beach towel around your lower half.
Thankfully, my lower half was underwater, so you could barely tell anything. But let's just say that the day got pretty wild. And then the next day, I went back to the bartender that was our bartender at the bar. His name was Dionis, this super cool Dominican guy, as smooth as it gets. You know, the guy danced bachata like the gods. He was like, he was the real deal. And total womanizer, by the way. You know, all the girls at the resort would go crazy for this guy. And I said, Dionis, what the hell did you give me yesterday? It was so good. And he goes, ah, the Mama Juana. And from under the bar, he pulls up this, you know, big jug full of sticks. And I said, what is that? And he starts like making, like flexing his arm, his bicep. And I said, what are you doing? And he goes, yeah, you never heard of the bed breaker, the baby maker? I said,
well, I saw online, it's called El Paro Palo, which means lift the stick.
Yeah. So I said, I don't know what you're talking about, man, but I love the shot that you gave me. So yeah, that's pretty much what people know it for.
Well, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, yeah, get in there. This has been a great last episode of the Speakeasy. We're getting canceled for this one.
So I just got a sip myself, and I agree with Damon right away. First off, aroma really comes out as a lot of like sort of sarsaparilla notes, like very root beery. And then on the palate as well, like it makes me want to honestly just drink it with seltzer and make it almost into like a, you know, slightly boozy.
Yeah. That's
slightly
what I did last night. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's what we call the Dominican spritz. It's equal parts candela, equal parts soda, slice of orange, and you got yourself a Dominican spritz.
Yeah. Nice. Pretty delightful. Now, are there other – so I know just from doing some very light looking around on the internet that – there are two ways to buy this stuff. Way one is to buy it as a bottle of liquid that's made already. But I think what's even probably more popular in the DR is to buy these kits. It's a bottle that comes already stuffed full of all the botanicals, to which then the home user adds their own amounts of honey, red wine, and whatever rum they prefer, hopefully a Dominican rum. And then you let it steep for a while. Saw a couple of different recipes that say let it steep for 2 weeks. Saw some that said as many as 6 months. And then to strain it off. And many of them said to then go back in with just rum and let that steep for a week. And then fold those two liquids together to create your house of Mama Juana.
Exactly. So you're right on. That's exactly how it goes. And what we did is that we decided, okay, should we make this like very strong and medicinal in its flavor profile, or should we make it maybe like a cordial? And then we decided, after testing literally hundreds of recipes, that the sweet spot was a great and all natural spiced rum, and we just focused on the rum part of it. And we don't have any wine in it. It's just rum, spices, and honey. So we really spent a lot of time making sure that the rum that we were using was the best rum that we could find in the Dominican Republic. And that's where we take great pride in, is that the rum that we use, it's, you know, distilled from fresh pressed sugarcane juice. And it's all estate grown in the DR. And it's as, I like to say, it's as farm to bottle as it gets, because I've driven by this place where the sugarcane grows, and you can see that in the same place that they harvest the sugarcane, they truck it right over to the distillery. It's distilled right in the same place where it's harvested. So, you know, a lot of the mass market rums, they, you know, they're made from molasses. They source the molasses from all over the world, and you have no clue what, you know, how it's made or where it comes from or the sourcing of it. So we're the total opposite. We know exactly where the sugarcane grows, the same place that it's harvested. It's pressed into pure cane juice, and then that is distilled, and then Candela specifically is aged in ex-bourbon casks, which gives it a very distinct flavor. And we have no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no additives, nothing weird. It's just rum, the natural spices, and honey. That's it.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah, where are you sourcing that honey from?
Everything that goes into Candela, the rum, The spices and the honey, they're all sourced locally in the Dominican Republic.
Nice.
That's nice. That closes that gap, makes it a nice tight circle. That's good.
Yeah, it was very important to us to keep it as locally sourced as possible.
Well, that also, like, frankly, it's smart, it's savvy business, right? It cuts down on cost as well.
Yeah, and once you're in the DR, you realize that they produce, you know, the quality of the stuff that they produce, whether it's tobacco, chocolate, coffee, rum, it's just anything that's naturally grown there because of the soil, because of the climate, it's just incredible quality. I was just in my favorite beach in the DR last week. It's a place called Las Terrenas on the north coast. And you order a piña colada there, okay? The guy literally goes up the palm tree with a machete and cuts down a coconut.
Fuck yeah.
they grab a pineapple that was harvested that morning. They put it all in a blender with some Brugal. And that's your piña colada. Like, it's as fresh as it gets.
Amazing. You also just made me want a cigar real bad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and a piña colada.
Well,
but yeah. now I will demand nothing less than seeing the coconut hatcheted from the tree just before going into the blender.
You know, there's an argument to be made with certain cocktails, right? Where it's like, you know, say like a Bloody Mary, right? Like a Bloody Mary should be aged, right? Your Bloody Mary mix needs to like sit and you know, steep. The horseradish needs to steep into it. If you make a Bloody Mary on the fly, like right in front of a, you know, customer, it's like cool show, but it's not going to be as good as one sit around. That's the complete opposite of what we're talking about here. You know, like climbing up a tree to get a coconut to make a cocktail for you. It's amazing.
Yeah. and it really does taste different. I mean, and obviously it doesn't hurt that you're sitting in front of the most beautiful beach ever and the warm breeze and the music in the background. It's all part of the experience, but they just do things so, so well. They're so natural that it's awesome. I mean, and anytime that you want something, they usually just source it from the most natural source that they can. And it was a funny story. So we were laying with my wife on one of the beach loungers there. And there's this lady that has all these coconuts that she got, you know, that morning, and they cut it, they put a straw in it, and you have coconut water. So we were saying, wow, this is amazing. It's so good. It's so natural. And then right as we were saying that, this huge coconut fell off the palm tree right next to us.
Oh my God.
could have smashed us in the head. But thankfully, you know, they usually, like, all the ones that are mature enough, like they will cut down in time. But this one, I guess that they missed, and it just boom smashes the ground so hard that,
hey man,
you gotta be careful.
It's worth the risk. You know,
there are things in life that are worth the risk. This is one of them.
Exactly. It adds a little bit of risk, right?
Yeah.
No, you know, if you want to get rewarded, you have to take risks.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of taking risks, let's take a break and hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and keep talking about Candela Mamajuana from Dominican Republic. Stay tuned.
Guys, one of my favorite things about drinks and cocktails is food pairings. You can't have enough food to go with your drinks. Luckily, we have one of our co-hosts here. Souther was a chef before he was a mixologist, and he does a thing called 2 weeks notice. You just did one recently, right?
I did, yeah. What we do is we create drinks that are kind of out of the norm for our bar, a chance for us to stretch our wings and do, you know, like, things that we don't like typically do at Mori Margo. Yeah, like shake a drink. That's simple as that. Or use a rotary evaporator or a hot poker, you know, all the things that we don't ever get to do. And our audience gets excited to see us do that. But what we do is we reverse engineer the thing. We make the drinks first, and then I taste them and go in the kitchen and create snacks to go with those drinks. It's, you know, what it really comes down to, it's all about balancing flavors with spirits, especially. It's a little bit more difficult than doing it with wine or beer, I think. And especially when you're dealing with the, you know, the delicious spirits that we use all the time at the bars. So, you know, it's a great, I've been doing it for years, but you know what? Now there's resources out there that anyone can get a hold of.
Absolutely. Those resources are DiageoBarAcademy.com. They've got, I mean, in addition to this really great course on spirits and food pairings that we've been talking about, I mean, they've got courses for everybody, you know, whatever your level of expertise is, whether you're, you know, just started and want to kind of like get the basics under your feet, or whether you've been doing this for 10 years, there's something for you. And the thing I like about it is there's always something new to learn on there, you know?
Yeah. And they also have courses on how to teach courses.
Yeah. Meta, barrel-aged barrels.
yeah, they really go deep. And the great part about it, as Greg mentioned, is free. It's 100% free.
It's totally free.
This is a 10-year, over a decade of amassed information, videos, print, all kinds of things. The newsletter that comes out each week to tell you what's kind of trending and what's going on and what classes are now available. And again, on demand as well. As long as you've got a computer and 30 minutes, you can sit down and do any of these courses. I can't stress enough what a valuable tool and resource this is to anybody in our business. And frankly, even anybody listening to the show, you know, there's no firewall or gate that says you can't go on there, even if you're not a bartender or in this field. If you're just interested, all of this body of knowledge is there for you to grab for free.
And that's at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's DiageoBarAcademy.com. Go check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Bento Box, a restaurant marketing and commerce platform that helps you get discovered, make more money, and engage your diners so you can deliver great hospitality both in person and online. In the heart of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Lilia combines wood-fired seafood, handcrafted pasta, classic Italian cocktails, and warm hospitality. Since 2016, it's been celebrated as a neighborhood gathering place, bringing the best of Italy to New York City. Lilia is one of over 8,000 restaurants that leverages Bento Box to power their digital front door, including their website, gift cards, event management, and more. Visit getbento.com/HRN today to learn more and get your first month free. That's getbento.com/HRN.
And we are back. You are listening to The Speakeasy here on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking with Alejandro Russo of Candela Mama Juana. We were trying a little bit earlier and just waiting for the rowdy effects to kick in. But while we do that, talk to us a little about the
your history. I'm thoroughly aroused, guys.
Yeah, my stick is lifted.
Even more than on an average speakeasy.
Hey, pal.
I'm glad we're doing this virtually then.
almost a spit take.
I'll send you some pics. Don't worry.
That'll be the featured image for this episode. It'll be a collage. A
stick pic.
I'll send you a photo. I'll send you a photo of the DR. Let's do that.
And we're canceled.
Anyway, it's been a great show, guys. Thank you so much for
nice run.
No, we were wanting to talk to you about your sort of entrepreneurial spirit that got you into this, because this isn't your first foray into the world of business, is it?
It is not. It isn't my first rodeo. I've always wanted to, you know, do things. I've always been very entrepreneurial, you know, ever since I was a kid. I was a typical kid, you know, selling candy, you know, trying to make a buck here and there, however you could. And my background's actually in startups. So before doing Candela, I had a couple of consumer internet startups, and I've always tried to, you know, own my own business. Some of them have been very successful, some of them complete failures, and everything in between. But I've always tried to be independent. So when I had the idea of Candela, I kind of had this epiphany when I was in the DR and I tried Mama Juana for the first time, right? And then when the trip was over, I went back to my favorite bartender, Dionys, and I said, "Hey, Dionys, I want to buy a bottle of this stuff." And he goes, "All right, so meet me at 6 o'clock behind the bar." So I said, okay. I go behind the bar at 6 o'clock. You know, I had my suitcase ready to go, ready to leave to the airport. And he opens up his backpack and he brings out this bag full of sticks inside. And I said, what the hell is this? And he goes, yeah, this is the Mama Juana. You want to buy some Mama Juana? And I go, no, Dionis, you misunderstood me. I don't want drugs. I want the booze you gave me that you've been giving me this whole time. And he goes, yeah, this is it. You just have to add some rum, some honey. You wait a couple months and that's it. And that's where it hit me. That's where I had the epiphany. And I said, wait, you're telling me that millions of people are drinking this stuff every year. And this is how you have to make it. There's no brand that you can just buy like at the duty free. And he goes, no, this is it. And I said, okay, you know what? Like, I need to do something about this. And I don't come from a big liquor family. I don't come from, you know, I have no industry experience. But I said, you know what? There's definitely an opportunity here. If I find, you know, 1,000 or hopefully 1 million people that are like me that really enjoyed this, I'm sure we can create a business. So I started doing a little research and yeah, I realized that it was actually a really big opportunity. So I remember I was telling my mom about it. Me and my mom were very close. She's a very successful businesswoman herself. And I was telling her about this and she goes, you know what? Don't find any other investor. I want to go into business with you. Let's do this. And I said, are you sure? Like, this has nothing to do with what you do. Because she's a real estate investor. And she goes, look, I was in the DR. I saw how everybody was hooked on this stuff. I never heard of it either. But I'm sure that if we find more people that can try this and get hooked on it, you know, it'll be a successful business. So just then and there, we literally shook on it. We said, all right, let's go into business. And that's how it started.
And how long ago was this? This is a relatively new product still, right?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't that long ago. I think it was like late 2015. But then, you know, starting any type of business is hard, but especially hard when you're starting a liquor business, because that's when the reality hit me, right? I got into this super naive thinking, all right, you know, I was used to the software world where you make a website right. And then it's live and maybe it'll take like a couple of weeks. And then I started realizing all the compliance, all the regulatory, all the legal aspects of starting a liquor brand. And it was daunting. It was daunting. And there was so much navigating that we had to do. So we spent the first 2 years just refining formula, getting the paperwork, the TTB approvals, the MSP approvals in the DR. You know, the FDA compliant ingredient list, like everything that you need to do in order to, you know, properly do this. So we actually started, you know, selling this in late 2018, in 2019 in the Dominican Republic. So it is a very new product.
I feel like there are so many stories that we've heard on the show like that of people being like, yeah, like I started this business and I was like, this is going to be great. And then I had to go through all the approvals and whatnot. I'm starting to get the sense that if anyone knew what went into starting a liquor business, no one would ever start a liquor business.
Oh, no one would. Thankfully, I was naive enough. I had no idea what I was doing. And that's why I say thankfully, because if I did, I would not have done this.
Just got hit on the head with a coconut one day and was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is a great idea.
Exactly. You know, fresh coconut water sounds great until you get hit in the head with a coconut.
Yeah, it's like that thing where, like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I'm just going to kind of like retire and like open up a restaurant in upstate New York or whatever. And it's like, you think that's going to be your retirement plan? You're going to work harder retirement. Than you've ever worked.
That's not retirement. You're doing exactly. This wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that's how it started. But thankfully, you know, it made me be part of, I've been part of the entire journey. So, you know, the first product that we imported, I was at the actual port looking at the container being unloaded because I had never done it before. So I didn't know how it worked. So I actually went to the port. I saw the ship, I saw the container, and I waited for it to be unloaded. I talked to all the customs people. I got on the truck with the driver, you know, all the way to the warehouse. Then, you know, from doing all the tastings myself. So it's been a very, very wild process learning about the industry. But I feel like you have to do it yourself in order to learn, right? It's like, if you want to, let's say you want to start a bar, I feel like you need to bartend yourself. You need to wait tables yourself. You need to host yourself. Because once you do all these things, if you've never done them before, that's the only way that you actually understand what the customer's looking for. What does the customer vibe with? What things
very hands-on.
They like, what they don't like. You have to do it like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to really, I mean, you know, there's a lot of aspects in this industry that, you know, a lot of pieces that you know, most of it, honestly, there's no like class for it. You know, there's no college course or degree for it. You know, it's something you have to learn on the job.
School of hard knocks.
Unless you go to DiageoBarAcademy.com.
That's right. Free resources for all things spirits and business related.
But yeah, it's something you definitely have to like be extremely involved in, you know, to understand all the nuts and bolts and working the ins and outs of it, you know.
But it was funny how we tested this because, you know, I didn't have a lot of experience in the industry. So what I did, I said, look, I don't know how this stuff is made. I don't know much about rum or distilling or anything like that. But I know that as a consumer, I really enjoyed this. So I just need to make sure if it's actually just me or if there's, you know, other people that really like this. So thankfully, I was living in Chile back then. And Chile is very peculiar as a market because all of the on-premise sales are pisco. Pisco is the national drink there. Mm-hmm. And like even vodka has a hard time moving there, all right? It's a tough market. Wow. Yeah. And if you go to a bar, you'll see it. It's like I literally think it's like 90% of the drinks sold are piscola, which is pisco and coke, or pisco sour. And just, you know, the other 10% is everything else. So what I did is a buddy of mine, he had this company where they did college parties. So they would, you know, take, let's say, 1,000 college kids over to a weekend at the beach, and they would have these retreats. So I said, hey, Juanjo, you know what? I'm trying this new product and I just want to know if people like it. So can you do me a favor? Don't buy any tequila. Don't buy any Jaeger this weekend. Can you just buy Mama Juana instead? And he said, yeah, sure. And he came back to me the next week and he said, hey, it was a hit. I'll take 5 cases. Then I gave him 5 cases the next week. Then he came back and said, you know what? We just blew past these 5 cases. Then he says, how much do you have? And I had imported 225 cases as an initial test batch. And can you believe that this guy bought the entire 225 case batch? And I couldn't believe my eyes. So I actually went myself to one of these college retreats and to see what was going on. And it was, when you think of like a scientific, like the scientific method, right? The experiment, it was as precise as it gets because this was an open bar environment full of college kids. So you don't have to buy anything, right? So it was equally as likely if you want to buy pisco or if you want to drink beer or if you want to drink vodka. It didn't matter, you know, what the brand was, what the POS, what anything was. It was just whatever I like the taste of, that's what I'm going to drink the most of. And I just saw that people, they totally ditched their Cuervos and their Jaegers, and they were just drinking Mama Juana. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And that's when I said, you know what? I actually need to turn this into a real business. And that's when I moved to Miami to actually start this company here. Wow.
Well, I, for one, am shocked that alcohol that makes you horny was a hit with college students. I can.
Right. What do they need it for?
color me stunned. But I guess, I sort of want to know because, you know, was it, did you just kind of use that same business model of like, kind of like integrating it into parties? Like, you know, did you go to like spring break in Panama City and just be like, here, try this? Or sort of like, how did you graph the success from Chile onto the American market? And what's kind of been the reception and the strategy there?
Yeah, that's a great question because that's how I started this. I said, you know what, it's going to be like the new Jaeger or Fireball, but you know, like more natural or whatever. But then I realized that the quality of the rum that we were putting into this, it was a, you know, $30, $40 rum that we were using as the base. And I realized that we just couldn't sell this product cheap because it was such a high quality product. So we shifted strategy and we said, you know what? We just need to target rum drinkers and spiced rum drinkers and offer them a better Captain Morgan, a better Sailor Jerry, with no artificial colors, with no artificial flavors, all naturally made, you know, distilled from fresh sugarcane juice. And that's what we've done. So we're not targeting any college kids at all. So we're not in, you know, Panama City Beach or Daytona Beach.
Way to ring my hometown, by the way.
You know, those are great markets, but we realized, like, unfortunately, we can't sell this cheap because we don't want to make it cheap either. You know, there is a lot of quality that goes into this. And we need to tell the story right. We don't want to, you know, make the same mistake, you know, that the first tequilas made, that they were just perceived as horrible quality. We want to be more of like the post Patron days, right? When people said like, wow, like I can actually make cocktails with this. And then, you know, all the wonderful tequilas that have come into the market after that. So that's a decision that we made strategically. And I'm glad that we have, because we have so many loyal rum drinkers, spiced rum drinkers, that even whiskey drinkers that just appreciate the flavor profile of this. And, you know, we're more of a, you know, high quality restaurant and bar type of product than a cheap college party type of product.
Yeah, man. And I love that you're kind of riding that wave of spiced rum becoming not just this, you know, like even like 5 years ago, anytime I'd see spiced rum, I'd be like, that's not a liquor, that's a cordial, you know, but there right. has been, you know, people actually, I love when people take something that's considered very lowbrow and I'm like, you know what? I bet there's something beautiful and wonderful here if someone just put in the effort to take it seriously. And I think that that's super cool that we're kind of getting to that point where it's like, yeah, you know, this is a serious product worthy of serious consideration, but you know, it's also fun. Have it at the beach, have it at spring break with Souther, because we know he lives for spring break down in Panama City. Do what you want.
And that's what it's all about, you know, Mama Hue. Intrinsically, it's a product to be enjoyed by the water, by the sun, having fun. It's a social drink. It's a drink meant to be consumed with friends while you're celebrating. That's what it's for. So, and you make a good point, because I looked at the market and I realized, you know, there are such good tequila brands out there, such good gin brands, bourbon and whiskey. Let's not even talk about that. They're fantastic brands. But then you look at spiced rum, and we're still stuck in the 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, I figured that there had to be some space for a brand that wasn't about, you know, pirates and sea creatures. You know, the modern consumer is looking for what's been happening with tequila, right? Like tequila shied away from like the cheap Mexican warm drink of the 80s. And now, you know, obviously you have Casamigos and company and all these, you know, wonderful new brands that have entered the market. And I always thought that spiced rum, being one of the highest volume drinks in the States, there needed to be modern brands that actually engaged with and communicated with the consumer in a different way. You know, it's more about the quality, more about the ingredients. And that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I think it's a shift from Disneyland to Hollywood. Right? Less, like you said, less Kraken, you know, less pirates, you know, with their foot up on a barrel, and more like, you know, I don't know, your label looks kind of somewhat, you know, Art Deco. It looks more Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. We wanted to evoke kind of like the golden era of the Caribbean, you know, the Pan Am era of, you know, Caribbean exploration. And that's what it's about. And I feel like the modern consumer, whether it's your soap or your yogurt or any type of thing that you buy, really, like, people are looking at the label more than ever before. People are turning the label over. They want to know the ingredients. They want to know how it's made. They want to know the process behind it. And I feel like we need to be that brand that actually says, yes, like, you can trust that every single ingredient that goes into this is as clean as possible, as natural as possible. And we don't even communicate it enough. I mean, we're actually redesigning the pack, and more of that is going to go into the story, because like, it doesn't even say in the label that this is it's made with 100% renewable energy, for example. That's not even in the label, and that's true.
That's awesome.
And you know, there's a lot of social aspects to this, a lot of environmental aspects to this, but you know, overall, the strategy guiding Candela is that we just want to be a brand, a better for you brand for rum and for spiced rum. That's just more natural, and it's just better. And it's better with the environment as well, better with your community. You know, we believe that we need to leave the house cleaner than what we found it. And that's the guiding principle behind Candela.
you know, I was just thinking about something that we should be doing with this. We should be making cocktails not only for, like, okay, so it's like hot boy summer coming up, man. We need to, like, we need to do, and, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, Souther's the only person I know in New York City who wears, like, dude who wears shorts. So, like, he's always, he's, you know, it's always hot boy summer for him. But, like, we need to do something with this in the backyard of Roberta's. When we get back to, like, live studio, like, in studio parties, this would be fucking awesome for, I mean, because, like, let's face it, Roberta's parties are basically, like, the 30 to 40 year old, still kind of college age parties.
Right. Sure. Grad students.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. That's the only thought I had. I was just like, this would be fucking fun as hell at, like, a Roberta's party. Like,
yeah, no, totally. This is like a total, like, backyard party.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's what we say. We're not, like, we have, you know, consumers, a lot of our customers that buy this online, they're 21 years old. A lot of them are 70 years old, and it doesn't matter what your age is, you're going to enjoy this because it's for the young in spirit.
Nice.
Spirits for the young in spirit.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
exactly.
Speaking of that older demographic, are you seeing any of your data compilation showing that mix is coming from people who are, like, maybe expats from the DR living here in America, and they're like, oh my God, I can get Mama Juana.
Yeah. I thought that would be the biggest group. But we actually, it's actually not. That was my initial thought. But what's crazy is that I started looking at all these people that are buying it online, and they are empty nester couple from Illinois, 40-year-old woman from Texas, 30-year-old guy from California. And it's like people from all over the United States, and not necessarily Latino. And that's what's cool about this is that, yeah, obviously the Dominicans and Dominican expats that are in the States, they're like, holy shit, there's Mama Juana here. They start texting, you know, all their family in WhatsApp, like, hey, like, you can get this a total wine in Costco. This is great. But it's actually more of a drink for anybody in the States that enjoys the Caribbean, enjoys vacation, enjoys the sun. That's who our customer is. And again, it can be 25-year-old group of girls that are on spring break, or it can be a retired couple that just got back from a cruise, and it's very transversal. That's why I always like to say, you know, rather than, like, a specific demographic, we target a personality aspect, and it's for the people that have a young and youthful personality. That's our customer.
That's so cool, man. And remember, a retired couple from Illinois that just got back from the cruise, Candelia Mama Juana can neither confirm nor deny the rumors about their spirit.
Yeah, so if you got an empty nest, it won't be empty for very long. As you said earlier, you said a nice way to, like, humble plug, you know, that it's available at Total Wine and BevMo. Where does it sit on the shelf? So it is slightly lower proof. Is it with the rums or is it with the, like, liqueurs?
Oh man, that's a great question, and it's been a total headache for me because half the stores, they put us in the rums next to the Dominican rums, you know, next to the Barceló and Brugal's, which is a great place. But the other half, they put us in the cordials, which is also good. But honestly, if you ask me where it should be placed on the shelf, I would tell you put it next to the Dominican rums.
Gotcha.
That's where people want to see it. You know, you look at your Brugal, your 1888, your Barceló Imperial, like that's where Candela should be.
Nice. Well, I love it, man. Like I said, you know, I've been a fan of Mama Juana, you know, just like the kind of seemingly, like, illegally smuggled in sample that I got, you know, back like over a decade ago. I thought it was just a cool thing. And I think another, like, consumer base for this is, like, people who really love, like, tropical drinks and tiki drinks. Like I said, you know, one of my favorite cocktails, tiki drinks, if you will, is, I think it's Don the Beachcomber. Somebody can probably prove me right or wrong with that, but it's just called the Caribbean Rum Punch, which sounds very vague. It could be anything, but it has all kinds of wild shit in it. You know, it's like, it's got absinthe and couple of different rums, but it has sarsaparilla in it. And, you know, kind of taking a full circle, like, this to me is the perfect thing to put in that cocktail and oh, many yeah. others, you know, and not just tropical drinks. To me, I'm thinking about, like, honestly, you know, some of the first mint juleps were brandy and rum, and a mint julep with like split base with this and brandy. I mean, come on. It's yeah. going to crush, you know, not pun intended.
That was it's a great point. And you know what? Yeah, we make great tiki cocktails. The Mama Thai is a big seller at one of the bars here in Miami. But we started seeing bartenders play with this. And what was really surprising is that initially I said, yeah, it'll be great for cocktail, tropical drinks. But then they started making old fashioned with it.
Sure.
We actually call it the sugar daddy. and it's great. It's great for an old fashioned. And then we started seeing,
wouldn't it be the sugar mama?
Yeah, there you go.
I like that. We got to make a variation. And we got the sidecar. And, well, we call it the side chick, which is a sidecar made with candela. And you see that when you use candela in all these cocktails, the mule is great. That's one of my favorites, actually. A mule that you make with candela. We call it the mulata. Beautiful, beautiful cocktail. And it's just very easy to drink. And to be honest, what I do at home, I just pour it on the rocks. That's how I like to drink it. It's just very easy to drink.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome stuff. Great job. And congratulations. It's beautiful packaging. I'm a sucker for packaging coming from a design background. So, like,
thank
caught
you.
My eye immediately when I received it yesterday. And yeah, man, tell the world where they can find you online.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate all the kind words. So if you want to try this Mama Juana, very easy. You just go to drinkcandela.com. That's drinkcandela. And you'll be able to order it online. You can find your closest stores in Florida. We're in Total Wine and Big Daddy's, California as well. We're in the Total Wines there. In New York, we're in Costco. And we're very quickly expanding all over the place. So, yeah, check us out at drinkcandela.com.
Nice.
Hell yeah, man.
Plus, I'm looking at it right now. You've got a pretty shiny looking Instagram, which is drink.candela, C-A-N-D-E-L-A, for your Instagram. And get some great photos on there and probably more information for people to read, you know, because I do notice, not to pick at you, but I noticed that, the bottle, it doesn't have a lot of information, you know. I think you should maybe add a necker or get a little bit more information on the bottle so that when people are looking at those Dominican rums and they see it on the shelf, they pick it up and get a little info that entice them to pick up the bottle. So, you know, and there's something to be said for mystery. I like mystery as well. But, you know, the American consumer is a shy animal, easily spooked.
Yeah, no. You're totally right. So wait till you see what we're working on. Candela's getting a nice facelift. You guys will love it. It's very, very sexy.
All about the lift.
Oh, yeah. No.
All about the glow up. Yeah, we're lifting that stick.
lifting spirits, right?
Nice. Among other things.
It's a lifting spirit.
It's a lifting spirit.
Well, it's been really a lot of fun, man. Thanks for sending us the samples. Thanks for being here today. And dude, again, like, I think we should throw a backyard party at Roberta's one of these days when we're fully up and running at Heritage Radio Network.
And, yeah, and just this long with seltzer and a slice of Roberta's pizza. It's like root beer and pizza. Oh,
dude, let's get seriously.
It on. You can't go wrong with yeah. that. And seriously, any party, any backyard thing you guys want to do, you can count on us, because if it's about enjoying some good pizza and drinks together, we're there. You can count on it.
It won't be in a pool, so you know you'll have to be discreet about your lower half, but it'll be fine. it's Brooklyn, baby.
Hey, that's what the bar's for.
That's right. Well, awesome. Check out Candela at trycandela.com and on Instagram at try.candela.
Drink Candela.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And it's been great. So thanks so much again, Alejandro, for being here today. What a cool product you got going here. It's in heavy rotation in my home bar for sure. And hopefully soon my actual bar.
Fellas, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station. Till next week. Salud.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, Alejandro.
Cheers. So you
don't shun the devil with your rock. The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
World Central Kitchen is serving thousands of fresh meals to Ukrainian families fleeing home, as well as people remaining in the country. This week on Let's Talk About Food, host Louisa Kasdan spoke with Henry Patterson about his upcoming relief trip.
So you're going to Poland, and I think you told me you're going to be there for at least 2 weeks.
I'm going to Poland to help feed Ukrainian refugees. With Jose Andreas' World Central Kitchen, I decided that's what I wanted to do for my 70th birthday. I leave in just a few days. We all see that what the Russians are doing is contemptible. As a food person, we all love to help. It's in our DNA. And here are people who really need our help. So if you want to help the Ukrainian refugees, either with money or even your hands and heart, find #ChefsForUkraine and World Central Kitchen. We have to do something. We can help. Remember #ChefsForUkraine.
I want to tell you about HRN's Business Membership Drive. Now, we all know that small businesses keep our communities vibrant. So for $500, HRN will shine a light on your work and will help you sustain our mission to expand the way people think about food and drink. This fundraiser will support not just my show, this show, but the amazing HRN community of food podcasts. And as a thank you for this tax-deductible donation, your business will receive on-air mentions, social media posts, listings on our website, and more. So go to heritageradionetwork.org/biz, that's B-I-Z, to become a business member today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/BIZ. Thanks.